former Predators goaltender, the color analyst on the broadcast, the television broadcast with Fox, Chris Mason. Good morning, Chris.
Mace, what up, man?
Good morning. What's up, guys?
How are you?
I'm doing good.
How you feeling? Everybody safe? Family safe? Everybody good?
Yeah, we're doing good. We're hanging in there just like everyone else, trying to make the best of it and stay busy and keep staying busy and doing things, getting outside, you know, smart social distancing and all that kind of stuff. We're doing it all, guys.
You're doing a lot of things, and I follow you on Twitter. You know where I'm going, John.
I do.
Do you have a your own wardrobe closet for all of the things that you dress up in for Twitter? Because or do you have like a wardrobe, you know, like they just bring it to you on a rental basis? How does that work? Because I love following you on Twitter. You know why? Because I have no idea what the hell's going to happen, okay?
Hey, buddy, neither do I. I've kept my Halloween costumes over the years for whatever reason, or parts of it, and it's in a big bag. And so every time I, you know, do something stupid or whatever, the only thing I ordered was I ordered a Spider-Man costume off Amazon for like $25 and surprised my son because he's in a big time Spider-Man phase. But other than that, it's just random stuff that I pull out every now and then. And it's pretty, my family's, they're not that proud of me. And my wife is a little bit embarrassed, to be honest with you.
She's like, this is the man I married. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Mace, I know the players and, you know, the coaches and the fans miss hockey. It's got to be tough for you guys as well, especially considering when you look at the Predators, it looked like they were starting to get their game right, you know, under Heinze. They were getting things going. It looked like UC Saros was establishing himself perhaps as the number one goaltender going into the playoffs. How tough was that to see this kind of grind to a halt with how well the Preds were playing before the season got paused?
Well, that's exactly right, because obviously the situation itself really, you know, put a damper on everyone. But for the Preds, it's such a tough year. It was so up and down, and they really never had a long stretch of time, I think, where they hit their stride. And it was always just seemed to be a battle, and they're always trying to like find their game, and it just never felt right until the last couple weeks, where they really started to, like you mentioned, they started to get the system. The penalty kill started scoring, or sorry, the power play started scoring. The penalty kill was shutting down other teams' power plays. Juice Saros was playing awesome. Everything was just clicking. The big dogs, you know, Matthew Shane, Ryan Johansson, Philip Forsberg, the guys that we'd, you know, kind of been calling out to do a little more, that we needed more production for them. They were starting to produce. It just seemed like everything was falling into place, and they were finally getting hot at the right time going into playoffs. So that really, you know, that sucks. But I guess, you know, in a lot of ways, everyone's starting fresh here. If they're able to find a way to make this season happen, it obviously looks like they're trying everything in their power to make that happen. But it's going to be interesting. At least they went out on the break feeling good. Everyone get rested up. And I think that confidence that they have from that big stretch there will help them when things start up. But again, it's almost like starting over. So it's going to be tough to carry on from that play.
You know, Mace, I heard an interview with David Poile and said, what are the odds that all of them would sort of have, quote, down years from the key forward positions, Johansson, Forsberg, Duchesne, who you brought in, Arvidsson, all of those, you know, although Arvy's a different circumstance, certainly, but you usually don't see all of them sort of go that way at the same time, and momentum is a crazy thing, but it, as you mentioned, and it just so maybe this little break, you know, help came at the little break, long break came at the right time for them.
Well, I agree with you, Greg, because I think it's an opportunity to salvage a season. You get to, you know, completely reset, although they were starting to play better. And you can kind of save your season now and mentally refocus. When you're going through a tough stretch like that during a season, and the longer it goes and the longer you go without scoring or producing, you have to start answering questions. You know, the media gives you a free pass for a little bit. You know, we'll give a little bit of a free pass on the broadcast until it goes on for long enough. And then all of a sudden, you know, you have to bring light to it, because, you know, at the end of the day, those guys are paid for their production, and they understand that. And, you know, it's got to be they've got to be held accountable a little bit, and they know it. There's nobody harder on a player than themselves. So they have that weight, you know, on them every game, and it builds the longer they go without producing. So this is an opportunity, I guess, if you want to, you know, take the positives out of the situation, which I guess we have no choice to do. Players like that, they get an opportunity to lose that, shed that weight, start all over. As soon as this goes back, these games, they're going to be playing the biggest games of the season, no question, with these plans. Like, I think they might possibly get two exhibition games, and then all of a sudden, boom, it's go time. So players like Johansson and like Duchesne, Forsberg, they've got an opportunity to turn their season completely around, and then nobody will forget what happened before.
Chris Mason is our guest, former Preds goaltender, of course, Preds TV analyst, one of the best follows on Twitter. Highly recommend you do that. All right, Mace, with that in mind, realistically, how long is it going to take for these guys to get ready? Like you said, you're going to have a few practices, a couple of exhibition games, and then, like you said, it's go time. And especially with these best of fives, I mean, you run into a hot goaltender and you're out in three games before you even knew what happened. How long is it going to take for these guys to mentally and physically get ready to play high-stakes hockey once we get going again?
Yeah, I'm very curious to see that. That more than anything, to be honest with you, because these guys, you know, in a regular season, even if it's the off season, they have a chance to skate in the summer. They're on the ice before training camp. They're ready to go. Guys come in, they've been skating, they're ready to go. This is a different situation. I think they're going to start letting guys, some guys, not in Nashville necessarily, but around the league, different places of the world, have started skating privately in some different places. And I think that'll start hopefully fairly soon. But I think, you know, 3 weeks, 2 weeks, 2 weeks minimum, I think you need to get ready. 3 weeks would be, you know, I'd feel okay about. But even, you know, with the dates coming up on you,
yeah,
you know, you don't have that much time to play with. So I'd say these guys need 3 weeks to get back to, you know, close to normal.
Do you like, and I don't think anything's perfect, but the 24-team format where you have the top four seeds on each side, they're going to have two hub cities, and Charlie has already declared that if Chicago, as the number 24 overall seed of the 24 teams, gets it, that he will his head would explode. But
I love Charlie, man. I love this guy.
But the format, you know, even if it's the best, you know, best of three out of five or whatever it is, that first round or whatever. Basically, though, there's two things I like about it. We saw what NASCAR done. They got out. They had all the attention. It looks like now between the NBA, Major League Baseball, and the NHL at least has a plan in place that's been approved by both sides, not all this bickering like we're seeing in baseball. Basics of the plan. What do you think?
You know, I see a lot of, you know, polar opinions on Twitter and social media, and some people say, yeah, I just cancel a season. I don't think like that. I think, obviously, it's not perfect. You know, the one thing that you wouldn't love to see in a perfect world is a team that, you know, had no chance of making the playoffs. I think Montreal was at a 0.2 chance of making playoffs, and they might be a team that's, you know, in this 24-team play-in or the 16-team play-in. But at the end of the day, you know what? They sat down in rooms and they got on, you know, they didn't sit down in rooms, actually. They got on Zoom calls, probably very many of them, and tried to figure this out and come up with the best solution. And I know when I'm watching baseball plans, the one game or the whatever it is, wild card series, I'm going to be watching every single game. I don't love the fact that some of those teams get in, but they're trying to do the best to you know, get more fan bases involved and make something of this situation, and I don't have an issue with it. I do hope they go to the seven-game series in the first round, though, for the Stanley Cup playoffs, because if, you know, at the end of the day, you don't want all this to be that one, the winner, you know, get something taken away from them because of the format, and it wasn't the best of seven in the four rounds of the playoffs. So I hope they do that. The play-in I got no issue with, but that'd be the only thing, I guess, I got is a 12-seed or a 24-seed team going on a big run and a best of five in the first round. I wouldn't love that.
Yeah, those best of fives are scary. I guess as it stands now, the Preds number six seed, they would take on the 11 seed, the Coyotes. What do you think of that series? How does that match up for Nashville?
You know, it's going to be so weird because like Nashville's traditionally the last few years anyway, they've had trouble in Arizona, in that building for whatever reason. And you know, they're a team that works really hard. They've got Taylor Hall. They've got a couple really skilled guys, and they've got two goaltenders. I think they've got one of the best tandems in the National Hockey League. They play such a defensive style of hockey, much like Nashville. I think Nashville's really, they're pretty comparable in terms of the way that that they're constructed, although I think Nashville's a lot better team, and they've got better depth in terms of the overall team and their defense. Obviously, I think there are big advantages in their defensive core, but like you said, it's going to be weird. If someone gets a hot power play or, you know, one goalie comes in and he's lights out, you just don't know how it's going to happen. But we're going to have an opportunity here over the next few weeks to really analyze that series and break down the Arizona Coyotes really well and see how they stack up. But I don't know. We don't even know where they're playing. So it's going to be
hard to break down when you don't know where and when the games are going to be.
Anywhere, right? Anywhere but Chicago, or we lose. We have somebody's head explode here. Chris Mason with us. You can follow him on Twitter, CMace30. Of course, Predators, a former goaltender, now the TV analyst on Fox Sports Tennessee. I'm reading a tweet from you a couple days ago, Mace. We need to help save this team. D1 hockey in the South is huge. Former players and coaches from this program have helped grow youth hockey as much or more than anyone. Please donate if you can. Of course, you are talking about the University of Alabama, Huntsville, UAH, and its D1 hockey program, which is like an outpost for D1 hockey, and it's been so successful down there. Sort of a lighthouse for hockey in our area in a 100-mile radius, quite frankly. And it's really cool that you're getting behind that and trying to help them save that program.
Well, it's so important to have that here. And I think, you know, a lot of people don't realize that a lot of their former players and coaches are a huge part of how hockey's grown down here in the South. And I've got some good friends that are, you know, part of the Junior Preds program. Nathan Bone, Keith Rowe, Tim McAllister have been here in the South for years and years since they stopped playing. UAH, and they've been part of TPH, Total Package Hockey, growing Tier 1 hockey, and now with the Junior Preds, and they have developed nationally ranked teams. They put the South in this market on the map in terms of the USA Hockey, in terms of, you know, ranked against some of the best markets in the United States. And that's the thing. You got guys, kids that are from Nashville committed to the school and nowhere to go. I don't know what's going to happen with those commitments. Obviously, they would dissolve. And the way the university did it, I mean, I don't really love how that happened. They give them a week to try to raise all this money. But this is important to have for the kids here, to have something to strive for. And we've seen how, you know, the growth of hockey with the Nashville Predators. Obviously, the NHL is a goal for a lot of people, but realistically, you know, scholarships and just to keep kids engaged with hockey and growing it in the South, not just in Nashville, around the surrounding areas as well. So Huntsville, they need our help right now. So, you know, little tweet here and there. I'm going to buy one of those shirts they got. I'm going to make another one. They're selling these awesome shirts there. So I'll tweet that out today if anyone wants to check that out. They're only $20, and I think 14 of it goes to save the team. So see what we can do.
41 years, and I know the athletic director down there, Cade Smith, the Alabama Huntsville, said that, hey, they're going to eliminate it, but now there's a fundraiser by May 29th. Today's the 28th, so that's tomorrow.
Yeah.
Alumni, booster clubs, lifetime supporters, all of that, they need to raise for the short term $500,000 this week, and they have a GoFundMe account set up as well. So this is right on the cutting edge, right? Right now, I see they've raised $277,000 of the $500,000 that they need just this week. So, man, I'm going to send them some money. You hate to see these things happen.
Yep.
Yeah, thanks, Pokester. No, that's, you know what, every little bit helps. We all know that. There's always a cause to get on board. But if anybody can afford a couple bucks here or there, that would mean a lot to the program, no question.
Mace, I want to circle back to the Preds real quick and their goaltending situation. It seemed to me, and you can speak to this better than anybody, having played that position in this league and for this team, you know, I think back to that game in Dallas shortly before the season was shut down, and you know, Juice had a great game. Might have had a shutout, I can't remember. And I just remember it was a big win in Dallas, and Pekka kind of came over and gave him a big bear hug, and it seemed to me like that was the passing of the torch, like saying, hey, I'm here, I got your back, but you're the guy now. Do you sense that? Were you sensing that before the league shut down, that Juice was starting to become the number one goaltender?
Well, I sensed that during that this season for sure. I mean, I think at the end that he was, you know, he was playing really good hockey. And Pex has actually been playing, when he started a couple times, he was playing, he went in there and played well too, but Juice was just at that level. He was in that zone. But, you know, we talked about Ryan Johansson and those top players needing this break too. You know, Pekka Rinne won the Vezina Trophy last year. He's the best goaltender in the National Hockey League. This year was a little bit up and down. He played the bulk of the games when the team, I don't think, was playing very well defensively early on in the season. You know, John Hines came in and you know, really tweaked their defensive zone a lot, and they've been playing a lot better lately. And Juice, you know, he got hot at the right time, and I think obviously going down the stretch in the playoffs, he would have played, you know, the rest of the games and start the playoffs for sure. But I don't know in Pekka's mind it's necessarily time for him to pass the torch. I know he's aware of it. He's talked about it and understands that Juice needs to play more. And, you know, the talent level that he has and where he is at his career, he needs more games. But for this season, I think, you know, Juice, he did win the job, and he was playing incredible going down the stretch. But now, who knows? Again, yeah, he's going to have to recapture that. And, you know, this is a good break for Pekka. He was feeling the weight of that season, there's no question. But now he gets all this time off to mentally, you know, clear his head and get back. And you come back after 2.5, you know, almost 3 months. It's like starting over again. So, you know, but there is no denying Juice's starting goaltender caliber. He's one of the most technically sound, perfect, almost robotic goaltenders in the league in terms of his technique and the way he plays the game. And he was lights out at the end.
Chris Mason with us. You know, I've been watching some of your podcast with your TV partner, Willie Donick, on the Fox Sports Tennessee. And I just got to ask you a question about Willie's beard. Is it painted on?
I know.
Like, it looks like it's painted on.
Beard. He has the thickest beard. Like, it's unbelievable, the density of the hair on his face. It's incredible. And it just, like, it looks like it's just so thick. And he's growing it doing the old quarantine beard. I don't know if he'll keep that when we come back or not. I think he's trimmed it down a little bit.
It just looks like it's painted on. Hey, C-Mace, always a pleasure having you on the show, man. Thanks for joining us, buddy.
Thanks, Mace.
Thank you, guys. Take care. Hope you're doing well, and hope to see you guys all soon. All right.